Well, turn with me this morning to Colossians 3, verse 11. And although we are a little mindful of the context, it's really the phrase at the end, Christ is all and in all. But we note that those words follow this expression, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. Christ is all and in all. That phrase, in all, would refer to all the various departments of the Church of Christ, the nations, the ethnic groups, the rich, the poor, whoever they might be, cultured, uncultured, that Christ is all, which is a great statement, and also in all the Lord's people. What a tremendous statement it is. So, just looking at that phrase, and particularly the phrase Christ is all, it's difficult to find a phrase which is more comprehensive and more exalting. Although, of course, there are many phrases, verses, passages in the Bible we could put alongside this Christ is all, even in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, we find these expressions. For by him were all things created. And then, all things were created by him and for him. And we read again in Colossians 1, he is before all things, and by him all things consist, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And once again in Colossians 1, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And then in Colossians 2, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And of course in Colossians 3, Christ is all and in all. And we could mention many more examples of exalted language regarding Jesus Christ in the epistles, the gospels, and indeed through scripture. And if we were to be truly thorough, we would have to give a synopsis of the whole of the Bible, because the Bible speaks of him. Our Savior said himself, search the scriptures, and they are they which testify of me. The Bible speaks about Jesus Christ. I think William Hendrickson, the well-known commentator, said that Christ is the key to the Old Testament. And of course, very prominent in the New Testament. Jesus Christ, so important. But of course, there's a difficulty in a text like this. Christ is all. Yeah, how would you tackle a text like that, indeed? Impossible to do justice to such a phrase. So I thought I would do some kind of what they call a taster menu, which is more than, if you're familiar with restaurant language, it's more than a la carte meal, a single meal, and not everything on the menu, but it represents the full menu. And I trust it does that. You know, there's a sense we always misrepresent Christ, don't we, as preachers? But by God's grace, we shall represent him to the best of our ability with the help of the Holy Spirit. That Christ is all. And in many ways, that phrase stands by itself. Nothing more need be said, really. Christ is all. But let's add some things. Now, first of all, Christ is above all. And that he is God. We mustn't pass over that truth. Our Savior Jesus Christ is God. You have the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And he's the Son. In the Trinity. He is God himself. He is supreme God. And there's none who is above him. The Catechism says he is co-equal in power and glory with the Father and the Spirit. Co-equal in power and glory with the Father and the Spirit. But of course he's been given a very special role in the salvation of man. And in that sense, he's exalted in a very special way. Joined to his divine nature, we have a glorified humanity. And also as Savior of the world, he is highly exalted by the Father. The Father lifts him up. The Spirit, of course, leads to him. Jesus Christ is very much lifted up, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And we speak of his kingship, don't we? The kingship of Jesus Christ. Not only over the church, he most certainly is head of the church. And we'll say more about that. He is positioned at the right hand of God with all power. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All should bow before him, every knee should bend and confess him with their tongue that he is Lord. He is above all, not just the church, but above all. All are below him, if not indeed beneath him, that they are below him, but even beneath him. He is high, high above all, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, yes, Christ is above all, but just to extend that thought, Christ is over all. He is over all. He rules over all. His kingship, he rules over all. Have you ever thought about that? He is high above all. All are beneath his feet, you could say. But also, he is the King and the King of kings. Well, let's remind ourselves and build up to that. There we have, he made all things. We read about that just now. He made all things. And also, perhaps more remarkably, we don't always consider this, do we? More remarkably, is that he sustains all things. Sometimes we just stop at that. He made all things. But really, more remarkably, perhaps, or as remarkable, he sustains all things. There's creation, continues and is sustained. And he has unthinkable power and rules of all things to bring about his purposes. We see this world as a chaotic world, don't we? A world which is in disarray. Things happen, accidents happen. We forget that he rules over all and overturns these things to his purposes. He said himself, I have all power in heaven and earth. I have all power in heaven and earth. He's been given this unique and special place and role over us all. And we think of all the other religions and philosophies, they are nothing. He is over all and rules over all. But particularly for the church, of course. There we see his sublime and beautiful authority over the church. In his kingship is seen in the church. We accept him as our Lord and our King. That's the language we use. And it comes down to your level. Let's not forget that. That indeed his kingship and rule is over your heart and your life. If you're a Christian, this will be a mark of you being born again and a Christian. You will respond to this. He is Lord, you will say. He is King over my heart. I am not sovereign. That's the unbeliever, of course. I am the captain of my soul. But not so with a Christian. The Lord is the captain of my salvation and my soul. What a king he is. What a potentate he is. And indeed, it shall be increasingly so as the world comes to its conclusion. But let's go to another track and think of Christ in his beauty. He is altogether lovely. The word all is there. He is altogether lovely. And the expressions of the Bible point to the beauty and the attractiveness of Jesus Christ. Yes, even the appearance of him overwhelms the heart. Externally, but we're speaking more of than externally. His appearance is more than an external beauty, although that is something which is noted in the Bible. His beauty, his appearance, but this beauty comes from within. He has the perfection and glory in his very being and attributes. So he's seen not just with the eye, but with a spiritual eye, you could say. We discern his beauty and his purity and his glory. And in every respect, he is lovely. Every attribute, he is lovely. And perfectly so, altogether lovely. You know, we speak sometimes, don't we, of somebody being photogenic, meaning perhaps that they are better in the photo than in real life, perhaps, but not so with Christ. He has no better side. He is altogether lovely. And lovely in every attribute, every aspect. Whatever you might pick with the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever aspect of his being, of his personality, we might even say, it is altogether lovely. Here are some of the names of the Bible. The Rose of Sharon, a bundle of myrrh, the pearl of great price, the bright and morning star, the Son of Righteousness, the King of Glory, the desire of nations, and perhaps just wonderful, as it says in Isaiah, wonderful counselor, but that could be taken apart, wonderful. wonderful, that Christ is altogether lovely, which is also an expression, of course, from the Song of Solomon. He's altogether lovely. But then, let's think about Christ is all in our preaching. But the Bible speaks in a number of places about preaching Christ. It's a phrase you find in the Bible. That's the first thing. It's an expression of the Bible, preaching Christ. It's an emphasis. It really denotes. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians, we read these words, I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Again in Corinthians, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And again in Corinthians, these well-known words, we preach Christ crucified. And then a few verses later, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Well, what statements these are. But why should there be such an emphasis on preaching only Christ? What's it all about, you could ask? Why not just preach Christ when you come to him in the scriptures and there he is, you preach him, but then you preach about many of the other things you find in the Bible, and of course we do. But the point is this, that he's found in everything. And probably as preachers we're all careless in not mentioning Christ enough. We don't mention him as often as he's mentioned in the scriptures. Have you noticed so many of our hymns bringing Christ? Christ comes in so many of our hymns that we sing from Sunday to Sunday. And the scriptures, as Christ said himself, testify of me. They testify of Jesus Christ. But primarily, it is his strategic position in the gospel that demands that we emphasize him. It's a phrase we use, Christocentric preaching. Christ in the center. Christocentric preaching. That Christ is in the center of these things and of our preaching and of our Bible studies and our morning messages and our evening messages. Why? He's the Savior of the world is one good reason. The Savior of the world. That's a good enough reason. The first question in our membership and our baptism services is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world? Well, we must mention him. He's the Savior of the world, but also all blessings are channeled through him. And particularly when you come to the domain of the Christian who is joined to him, but also for the unbeliever, common grace comes through him, but also for the Christian, special grace. We are joined to him. We can't be blessed outside of him. Without him, we can do nothing, as he so expressed himself. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Which is a reverse side of Christ is all. Without me, you can do nothing. Oh, the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's look at this in more detail, because Christ is all in our salvation. And look at some of these blessings in more detail. For one thing, he is our salvation because he is the only Savior. There are no other Saviors. He's a Savior of the world, and the extension of our baptism and membership services. The second question is, as you probably know, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior? And people say, yes, I believe he's the Savior of the world. Yes, I believe he is the only Savior. And so indeed, he is all from that point of view alone. But look at the detail and how he is all. You see, every Christian is elect and chosen by God before the foundation of the world. And we are chosen in him, in Jesus Christ. And this tells us that God cannot contemplate us outside of Christ. We are so sinful, so vile, so hopeless, so weak, that God can't contemplate us outside of in Jesus Christ. So we are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. See how Christ is all. But also when it comes to our own time, and we are born and we live and we sin and we fail, then we hear of the gospel and we hear of who? Of Christ, of course. We hear of him and we believe in who? Believe in Christ. We know these things, don't we? We believe in Christ. This faith must be in him. Why? Because he is a Savior. And we are to believe in him and only Christ. By faith alone, through Christ alone, is the expressions of the Reformation. Faith alone, faith in Christ and in Christ alone. Only he can save us. If you add to him, then you spoil it. If you take it away, you spoil it. It's him, Jesus Christ, the truth of him. You make it a lie if you are to take it away. You make it your own version. You make it your own Christ. It has to be him because he's the truth, the person. So you have to take him as he is and the truth of who he is and believe in him. Going back to the questions of our membership services and our baptism services, the third question, of course, is, do you believe that he is your Savior? It's always a telling moment, isn't it? And we have people answering those questions. Oh, I believe he's the Savior of the world. Yes, I believe he's the only Savior. And then there is almost a gulp and a pause. Yes, I believe he is my Savior. Yes, people say, don't they? Yes. I might also ask, in those services, is Christ all to you? That would be a good question, wouldn't it? Is Christ all to you? And the person who wants to be baptized or wants to become a member should answer, yes, he is all to me. Because that is conversion. That is the Christian faith. Anything short, oh, I'm almost there. No, you're not there at all. It's not the truth. He is all or he's nothing to you. Well, nowhere do we see the statement that Christ is all more important than in the details of salvation as we contemplate our relationship to God, a thrice holy God, and the holy law of God, the commandments, and how beautiful they are. Many people see them as something negative and horrible, but they are beautiful. When you analyze them, how good they are, what a good social policy they are. They also exalt God as well, don't they? But we are lacking in these things. We're lacking in righteousness. We haven't obeyed any of the commandments, not any of them to the standard. And in fact, we've broken all the commandments. But then when you come to Christ, you know, he's not just patching you up and saying, well, you've broken two of the Ten Commandments, you need some help. No, you've broken them all. And Christ comes and lives on this world and is all obedience and all righteousness. And we call this righteousness a beauty, don't we? Robert Murray McShane said in his hymn, dress in beauty, not my own. And we are covered, not partly, but with a garment from head to foot. We don't want any nakedness to show, our weakness to show. We want to be covered head to foot in Christ's obedience and righteousness. And as it says in the Old Testament, Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Christ is all our righteousness. We don't have any righteousness of our own. He's all our righteousness. But what about the breaking of all the commandments and how we have broken them? And so much so, you could describe our many sins and the judgment and the condemnation that goes with it as some kind of vile content we pour into a cup. But what Christ does, he takes that cup. He speaks of a cup, doesn't he? And he takes that cup and he drinks of it. All the vileness of our sins and the condemnation and the judgment, he takes it. Where does he take it? On Calvary. The punishment, the penalty of our sins was death. He died upon the cross. And he drinks from that cup, so to speak, even the dregs thereof, as we often say. He drinks it all. Christ is all. And he drinks it all. And by dying, he removes the condemnation. As the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. He has removed it all. Christ took himself all the condemnation. Do you understand what the cross is about? Calvary. He took all the condemnation of his people to save them, to remove it from them. Another expression is, he is all our cleansing. The blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. There you have it again. Cleanseth us from all sin. We are washed of our sins when we believe in Jesus Christ. Whichever way you look at salvation, you come to this statement, Christ is all. But let's move on. Christ is all and in all our sanctification. You might ask the question, what happens to us when we are sanctified as Christians? Now we are converted, we have believed, we've been saved, and now, having been saved by Christ, this conversion experience, now the Christian life unfolds and follows. And we are sanctified. What are the expressions we use? We grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is one answer to how we are sanctified. It's all to do with Him. And again, another expression, conform to the image of His Son. We've been transformed and conformed to who? To Jesus Christ. Ah, you might say, I thought the Holy Spirit was the one who sanctifies us, that we most certainly obey, but He then inspires our obedience and takes our obedience and sanctifies us. But the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Christ. And what does He do? What does He accomplish in us when you think about it? Think about it. He makes us Christ-like. We came across that expression recently. I think I quoted it by Spurgeon. Oh, to be Christly. We often use the term Christ-like and godly, don't we? I never heard the term Christly before. Oh, to be Christly. And the Spirit makes us Christly and makes us Christ-like. And as we see in our text here today, Christ is all and in all. He's in us. That's what's happened to the Christian. That's why he's so different to the world and unbeliever. And that's why the world struggles with a Christian. And again, in the Gospel of John, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. We receive of Christ's fullness. We receive of Him. Oh, see how Christ is all to you. And Christ, if I can extend the thought of sanctification into another similar place, really, but making a separate point, Christ is all in blessings. You see, we should mention our union to Christ when we are believers. We are joined to Jesus Christ. Our souls are joined to the person of Jesus Christ. He is the head, we are the body, is a biblical phrase. Also, He is the vine, we are the branches. And the very life and the sap of the vine goes through the branches. That is our position. We are in Christ. Very common term in the Scriptures, isn't it? In Christ, in Jesus Christ. And we are blessed in Him. And we can't be blessed outside of Him. Without me, you can do nothing. We can't be blessed outside of Him. Christ is all. And so He blesses us with His presence when we keep His commandments. He says, doesn't He, in John 14, He will manifest Himself and make His abode in our hearts, which surely is a blessing par excellence. We all know of Him, but there are degrees of His presence that flows through us and presences in our heart. It is a blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what wealth and riches are found in Him, of His fullness have all we received. This is the exalted doctrine of the Christian. All because of Christ. Who are we joined to? The one at the right hand of God, who has all power in heaven and earth. The mighty Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. We might single out some of these blessings. He gives us joy and peace. We could mention many blessings. Joy and peace. And He says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. My peace. There is a peace of the world when things are going well, but He says, my peace I give unto you. You might have a very good-natured personality, but that's the natural thing of the world. And it can come and it can go as well. But my peace I give unto you, He says, the peace of His very being and person. Oh, how wonderful. And it is a joy as well, isn't it? But let's go on again. Christ is all in our consecration and devotion. We call our Savior Lord. He's our Savior and our Lord. And our instinct, one of the proofs, whether you are born again and a Christian, you obey Him. It's a proof. There is a submissiveness, a teachableness in the Christian. And he is below Christ, a servant of Christ. And we know this language, don't we? Even if we come short from it In our practice, sadly, we know what is right. We obey him in all things. He is Lord. And we sing, none of self and all of the... We sing remarkable things, don't we? If only we could live the things we sing. What things we sing. Christ is all, none of self and all of thee. And of course, we delight to read about the biographies of missionaries and preachers who served. How did they serve? With all their heart. We don't read about missionaries who served with half a heart, do we? But we are very glad to read of these men and women who served Christ with all their hearts and as far as they could. And of course, the language of the Bible, of the apostles, we are servants of Jesus Christ. And there's even an element in those words of slaves, but we are glad to be slaves and servants of such a good master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And consecration, but also devotion. We are consecrated to him, but we are devoted to him. Our hearts are in it. And we're not there as reluctant slaves and servants, but rather with all our heart. We love him. And this is the language of our hearts. Our heart is in it. One hymn writer said, had I 1,000 hearts to give, Lord, they should all be thine. And we see in Scripture, don't we, so many examples of God's servants, with actions and devotion of love. I hasten to say, not sentimental love. But having said that, we mustn't come short of the intimate expressions of love. And those wonderful terms of Song of Solomon and of the Psalms as well. At the end of the day, it is practical, but it's also intimate. And we know the secret of the Lord. And we abide in him and commune in him. And it is indeed the language of love and intimacy as well. And what reasons we have to love him. Yes, we're speaking partly here about our hearts, but it's all to do with him. Because he is worthy. There is none more worthy of love than the Lord Jesus Christ. None more worthy of love than our Savior. Not only because of who he is and what he has done, but that's enough. But also he loves us. Isn't that a powerful thing when somebody loves you? Well, he loves us. And we speak of the love of Christ, a passive knowledge. Has a breadth and length and depth and height. He is all compassion. I read this week, I listened rather, to a message by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And there he said, regarding all the people he saw in need, that there was not one case that he did not show compassion and his heart went out to men and women. He is all compassion. What an example he is. Love divine, all loves excelling. Christ is all when it comes to our consecration, our devotion, because of who he is. He is the inspirer of our hearts. But then, rather unusual one. Christ is all to the unsaved. Now this is a strange one. For you could say, and rightly say, Christ is nothing to the unsaved. Now, where are they today? Walking down the various high streets. There they are walking down the park, Roth Park. Christ is nothing to such people. But let me just say a few things here. Well, first of all, point out that Christ should be all to all men and women. He has a right over them, and he should be all to them. And the truth is this. He's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and they can't get past him. They will stumble over him. And they will find him to be an offense. And you find it, don't you? You mention his name. And there they stumble, don't they? They back away. But they shall stumble in a more terrible way. Because there will be a judgment. And who will be their judge? They will know the wrath of the Lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ has been appointed to be a judge. His Savior and judge. And he will be all judgment to them. And also, in that day, and I can't imagine this, with unimaginable feelings, that they shall bow before him, reluctantly perhaps, but they will have to acknowledge him. Who can imagine the feelings of despair and yet acknowledgement that he is all? And they shall
At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And they shall confess, but with a terrible heart. Who can imagine such feelings? And in a very strange way, Christ is all to the unsaved. They can't escape him. He has all power in heaven and earth. He's the judge of all. They can't escape him. And then, lastly, Christ is all, and God is all, in the glory everlasting. Here we come to the last matter. The Christian in heaven will be dominated by Jesus Christ. Will be dominated by Christ. We read in Revelation, the Lamb of God, where was he? In the midst of the throne. In the midst of the throne. In the midst of heaven. And there the Lord's people were joined to him, will be around him. And we shall be with him, and we shall be like him and see him. Hear the scriptures, that where I am, there ye may be also, he says to us. And we shall be like him, the Bible says, for we shall see him as he is. And Christ says, that they may behold my glory. And so indeed, Christ is all. And indeed, he's the head and king of the church forever and forever, for all eternity. He's our king and our head. Although it is true, I had this as a biblical conclusion to it all. In Corinthians, we find 1 Corinthians 15, I think verse 28, with regard to his rule over all creation, having completed his glorious work, he will now present it to God the Father, that God may be all in all. And there, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit will reign over all with perfect government. I'm in perfect happiness. It is indeed a glorious matter. Christ is all, and God is all in all. Well, with our taste and menu, we might say to you, O taste and see that the Lord is good. And indeed, these words are a measure of you. You know, if you're having now baptism or a membership service, and I ask the question, is Christ all to you? How could you answer? Is Christ all to you? And some might say, sadly, no place at all. Is that true for you? There is no place at all for Jesus Christ. May God have mercy on you. That's all I can say. Or maybe for those who are saved, there's a small corner in my heart. Oh, may the Lord show you his glory and his right to the throne of your heart. He's at the right hand of God, the throne of heaven. He should have the throne of your heart. Christ is all, other words, and your heart must be full of him. Listen to these words. Jesus, Jesus, all sufficient, beyond telling is thy worth. In thy name lie greater treasures than the richest found on earth. Such abundance is my portion with my God. In thy gracious face there's beauty far surpassing everything. Found in all the earth's great wonders mortal eye hath ever seen. Rose of Sharon, thou thyself art heaven's delight. Well, my dear friend, is he your delight? Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we do pray that we might indeed come to these words. And if we were asked now, is Christ is all to you, that we might say yes, by God's grace. We pray these things, O Lord, praying we might live up to these words and know the truth that Christ is all and in all. And may bless thy holy name. Amen.